KFSR presents First Ladies Focus, the personal stories behind people who love Fresno State. Featuring Fresno State's First Lady, Mrs. Mary Castro, and KFSR Program Director, Julie Logan, 90.7 KFSR.
Good morning and welcome. I'm Julie Logan, along with my co-host, Fresno State's First Lady, Mrs. Mary Castro. Good morning, Mary.
Good morning, Julie.
We're excited to have another very special guest with us today, and as always, I'll let you make the introductions.
Well, thank you. Once again, we are very fortunate to have a member of the community who has great ties here with Fresno State and with the whole area. It's Mr. Howard Watkins. He is a Fresno community photographer and attorney who is also named by Alan Autry as Fresno's photo laureate. Welcome, Howard.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
Nice to meet you.
Well, Howard, you are one of the first people that I remember when Joe and I arrived at Fresno State. I remember that we were at a couple of community events and you were rounding everybody up and you were getting these group photos. And Julie, if you have never been at an event where Howard is taking photographs, let me tell you, he is a take charge kind of guy. There is no denying exactly where he wants you to sit, where he wants you to look. And one thing that cracked me up was he even will tell you if you need to put your knees together or if you need to straighten your tie or something. I mean, that's the detail that he puts into his subject.
Well, that's the mark of a gracious photographer.
I try.
When we talk about that, do you ever have people get offended when you're trying to direct them in a photo?
Very seldom. One of the things that makes this easy for me to do in Fresno, and I have to remember I can do this in Fresno when I go out of town, unless everybody knows who I am, I'm just a paparazzi to everybody else. But in town, I've been doing this so long, taking over 300,000 photographs. Well, as an example, Chief Justice Ron George of the Supreme Court, when he came to Fresno to dedicate the dependency court where I worked for the county on the Fulton Mall, when I got there, he was on tour in the courtroom. And Supervisor Sharon Levy was leading the tour. And that's a confidential courtroom. I have a key to it because that's where I worked full time.
Yes.
And I didn't know if they're leaving, but that's a great photo op location.
Uh-huh.
So I come into the confidential courtroom with my camera ready with the flash on it. And Sharon wanted to speak to the Chief Justice about who this paparazzi was. And he stopped her midway. He turned to me and said, Howard, where do you want me to stand?
Very good.
Because I've been taking his photo every year at the annual state bar meeting. So
we're
not close friends, but he knows me.
Right, but he knew you, and he knew you were already cleared to be there, right? I'd like to talk about how you have developed this passion and to stick with it as long as you have. You've been taking photos for how many years?
Well, I started in 1960 when my namesake gave me a little Kodak Brownie camera. It's junior high school. And I take a picture here and a picture there. And one of my classmates had a dark room, so he showed me how to develop and print. So I was, my allowance was not real big, so this is all on the cheap. And in high school, I probably took about 500 photos.
Oh, my goodness.
And then went to UC Berkeley for college, and the place I stayed had a dark room. This is late 60s. There was a demonstration every quarter.
Right. You had
major
a lot
speakers,
of
like Dr.
interesting
King.
Things going on to document.
What great opportunities.
Did you always develop your own film?
When I was at college, I did.
Uh-huh.
And when I moved to Fresno, because I got a job with Legal Services, my wife got a job with Fresno Unified, at that point, I didn't have the time. And if you're going to do your own, you have to have all the sinks and equipment and stuff. And our house didn't accommodate that. So I started off using longs all the time for my film. And then a few years later, I switched to Costco, and I go to Costco all the time.
Well, you told me earlier that you're kind of a MacGyver, and you get that from your dad. Your parents' names were Albert and Rose, and you said your dad was a plumber.
Right.
So did your dad or your mom have any inclination for photography?
Yeah, my dad had his own 8mm camera. So there's photos of me as a baby.
Oh, I love
and
those.
And walking, waddling on my feet on fishing trips and other places. So that made me aware. And I only have three or four baby photos of me, but they made a point to get me someplace to get a childhood photo. I think what really triggered the massive amount is my involvement with our family genealogy. My dad was researching our Cherokee ancestry and Watkins ancestry, and I helped him, and we reached pretty much the limit of what we could find at the time. This is before Ancestry.com, et cetera, and then switched to my wife's genealogy. But one of the things, when you do genealogy and you go back, where are the photos?
Right.
Or here's the photos, but there's no names on them.
Yes.
How do we know who they are?
Mm-hmm.
Fortunately, my wife's great-grandfather was a professional photographer in Kansas.
Mm.
So even though her grandmother was born in the late 1800s, we have dozens of photos of her from babyhood up to
adulthood. Oh, my. That's fantastic.
I love older photographs. I think the fact that they aren't perfect is what attracts me to them. Do you find that digital photography has removed some of the artistic work from?
No, actually with digital, you can be even more artistic because you can play with sound every pixel. Theoretically, I don't use Photoshop, but theoretically, you could take a total black image and if you had the skill and patience, turn it into a Mona Lisa duplicate.
Oh, wow. By just going pixel by pixel.
Pixel. I mean, it may take you years to do it, but you can tint it, you can edit it. A picture that was on film you might throw away, you can actually make usable because of the digital.
So you mentioned that you took over 500 photos when you were in high school. Where did you attend high school?
John Marshall High School in Los Angeles. It's near Griffith Park area. For those that are my age, that's where they filmed Mr. Novak, the TV series. For Greece, the ending scene in the carnival, that was our football field.
Oh, wow. And that's a great point of reference right there. So how did your fellow classmates react to you taking that many photos in high school? Was that something that was, I mean, to me, it seems like it would be kind of out of the ordinary at that time with the type of technology that you had to have that many photographs. Was there a photo club or what other type of activities did you do?
Some didn't want it, so they put their hands over their face. Most would pose for it pretty readily. I wasn't as proactive as I am nowadays of trying to organize a group photo. I did some.
Right.
But that's become a trademark of mine here. And I want to thank Fresno State because what really got me doing group shots is when the Fresno State softball team won the national championship. And they had the celebration at Bulldog Diamond, and I'm on the field taking photos. That was film camera back then, and there weren't very many photographers on the field. And I'm waiting for them to get together for a group photo, and Marchie says, thank you, and it's over, and they're starting to walk off the field.
And I said, no, and you're thinking I'm missing this opportunity.
Can't we have a team photo? Oh, good idea. So they got together and got some team shots. Now, all of a sudden, there were like a dozen photographers down there. So everybody's looking every which way. And so eventually I shouted, look here, look here. So I got almost everybody looking actually at me. But what I learned from that was, one, if you think you got a good opportunity for group photo, ask for it. Or if you know you want to do one, set it up ahead of time. And two, if there's a lot of photographers now with all the smartphones, there's dozens.
Right.
Is I actually direct traffic. Okay, everybody look over here to the left.
I know, okay, I've been there.
Look over to the right. Now look here in the middle at me. And so I'm not trying to be the only one to get a good photo. So
yes,
if I can help other photographers get a better shot, and it usually looks better when the people are looking at the camera instead of away.
Well, that's very thoughtful of you. I know that someone who might be more timid would be afraid to ask like that, but then they miss the opportunity and you help them to capture it. What is the line between, I mean, if you're at an event, like recently you were at the Fresno County Arts Council, Horizon Awards. And you're taking photos as the event is happening. What is the line between interfering with what's going on and getting what you feel you need to have for your archive?
That could be a fine line. I work real hard not to cross it. So if it's enough lighting, I won't use the flash. It would come out better with the flash, but I'll use a higher ASA rating on it, so it takes less light to get an image. And I made a point. I use an 18, which is wide angle, to 270 zoom lens. So I could be some distance away, not right in front of the person, and still get a decent shot. If there's a performance, think about if you're in a movie theater or Sorority theater, having flash popping off. That's one of the reasons, not the only commercial, is probably another, but no photography. And generally, if I'm going to take a lot of photos, I will check with whoever's in charge of that event, ideally ahead of time.
That's good practice.
Most every place I go, they know who I am.
Right.
Even if they've hired their own professional photographer, they'll still say yes. The thing in that situation, I let the professional take his or her photos first because one of the things that's real frustrating, you got two cameras looking at you and some are looking at one and some are looking at the other.
Yes. So documenting the people in the photographs is another big important part of the archive. How do you get everybody's name for all of these? I mean, you're at so many different events. That's got to take up most of your time, is just trying to make sure you're accurate.
Ideally, and this is what Pop Laval did, but he was hired. Mm-hmm. So that was his job, was to take the photos and jot down everybody's name. Mm-hmm. So he had a working relationship with whomever he's doing the photography, and that's how he had his time, all he had to spend his time doing.
Mm-hmm.
For me, when I was working full-time as an attorney, the photography had to come on weekends and nights and lunch hours, stuff like
that.
So I really didn't have time to keep track. Mm-hmm. I mean, I remember Elizabeth Laval's great-granddaughter said, Howard, you really need to write the names in the back.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just trying to get the photos edited or developed, edited, mm-hmm. and distributed, and mm-hmm. I'm running out of time.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the things I do, especially the last 10, 20 years, is get a copy of the program. So at least I know who's being honored, who the speakers are.
Right.
And then once I go into indexing the photos, and that's one of the keys to my early years, I'm trying to index from 73 through 2002, 2003, be 30 years.
Oh, my goodness. That's monumental.
And that's what I'm specifically donating to the Madden Library mm-hmm. for the special collections to be online. And once it's there, you can type in a name. And if that's in the index data, all the photos with that name or whatever you typed in, if you type mm-hmm. in Corvette or Rolodex, for those of you who don't know, business cards used to be on a Rolodex file, not a Rolodex watch.
Right.
You can access those photos mm-hmm. and download them for free for your personal use.
Is there a capability for, if I look at a photo and I recognize other people in the photo, that I could let you know the names of the other people in the photo?
There will be. There isn't now officially. I mean, because they're not up online for anybody to do. Now, I am, as of January this year, my photo albums, I'm putting highlights on Facebook. So it's Facebook, Watkins Photo Archive, if people want to go there.
And we will have the link there so that they can go to it.
And then there's a link to that album.
Mm-hmm.
But those I put on Facebook, I don't know everybody's names. And sometimes somebody told me it's so-and-so and it really isn't. Or Facebook does its own identifying and I pick up on it. Facial recognition has its good points and bad points. But people occasionally will request permission to tag, and I always grant that.
Okay. I mean, because that seems like that would be a great help to you.
It would
be. Well, I mean, your photographs can be from one person up to 500 or more people.
I think
people.
My largest group photo that I organized was of 400 or 500. Walters Elementary School.
Oh, my goodness.
They were participating in a statewide elementary school rope jumping contest for the Guinness Book of World Records. And I went over, took some pictures of the jump roping, and it was going to be over in 15, 20 minutes, so I was still be there. I asked the principal, you know, when this is over, can we get all the students on the blacktop, and maybe the custodian can bring out a ladder, and I take group photo. And we got it all done in 10 minutes.
Fantastic.
Well, you take photos of parades, political rallies, award ceremonies, and like you said, elementary school special events. How do you get information about what's going on and where you can be, and how do you prioritize, because you're only one person,
right.
How do you prioritize what you're going to capture?
Well, Fresno Bee a lot of times will say a major upcoming event.
Okay.
The Fresno Business Journal is another. I'm on the media list for Fresno State, so I pick up a lot, obviously, from Fresno State. I'm involved in a lot of groups, so they have events coming up and word of mouth. I mean, people feel there's nothing to do in Fresno. They're just not trying.
Exactly.
I mean, the most I've ever done was probably 10 events in one day. But
my goodness.
If I wanted to, I could do easily 10 events a day.
Wow.
In terms of having that many things that are worthy of photography. I don't do that many, but there's just a lot going on. And for major annual events, I try to go to it at least once.
Mm-hmm.
So the Blessing of the Grapes I did a year or two ago. That's the only time I've been to it. Clovis Rodeo I've been to once. And I just shoot away. And with one of the good points and bad points about digital is you can take hundreds of photos.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm in awe of Pop Laval's work. I mean, he took 100,000 photos in his lifetime. That's over 55 years.
Mm-hmm.
And in less time, I've taken 300,000. The major difference amongst many others is he's lugging probably 100 pounds of camera equipment, glass plates, or whatever, having to set up with a light meter, take the time.
Right.
I could shoot 400 photos in a day, take it to Costco, and in an hour, they're ready.
They're done, right.
And I could not take anywhere near what I've taken if I had to do it the way Pop had to.
So how much time do you spend editing and selecting which photos are in the archive and which ones you discard?
I don't have a lot of time to do that. So I spend a considerable amount of time, but it's almost an instant decision.
Okay.
Keep it, don't keep it. A lot of times, as I'm taking it with the digital, again, you can see it in the screen, is, oh, no, that's a bad photo. Delete that one, but the other one's good, so that's okay. And when I'm editing at home, most photos I can make work.
Is your wife involved with helping you to put this project together?
She is totally involved in allowing me to spend so much time doing this.
She supports you, right?
Yes.
Keeps you fed and happy so that you can do it.
Takes away family time because I can't be with family and at the computer at the same time. So we're both home a lot, and I'm in my office, and she loves to read. She loves quiet time, so she has a lot of quiet time.
Oh, that's good that you have a hobby that's not playing the drums or something like that.
Actually, I used to call it a hobby, but realistically, it's an obsession. Though I'm having to cut back now because, now besides the fundraising I have to do now to cover the costs for the library, I need to index the photos. And that takes a fair amount of time to do, as I'm trying to remember somebody I used to know really well but haven't talked to in 30 years. It starts with a G. Okay, and eventually it comes back to me, fortunately. But if they're not indexed, the library really can't use them.
Right. If you had to choose two events that you felt like absolutely everyone should see the photos from, or perhaps two photos that you felt out of all that you've taken that were the most meaningful to you, which two photos would those be?
Well, let's make it three. That's easier.
I knew you couldn't narrow it down to two, but I was going to try.
The one that's most recognizable is I took a picture of Muhammad Ali at an anti-war rally in L.A. in 1967.
Oh, my goodness.
So that's an iconic photo.
Yes.
Another one is an aerial photo of downtown Fresno, which I think was the first one ever taken that took the breath of downtown from Amtrak to the Federal Courthouse all the way across to the Grand and Warner's Theater. And I was in American Airlines connecting flight to L.A.
Oh.
And when I fly during the day, if I can get a window seat, I have my camera with me.
Mm-hmm.
If I get some aerial shots, that's great.
Usually the windows aren't that clear, though. I wouldn't think you'd be able to get
through
that
through the double window, it worked.
Oh, good.
But we were so close to downtown, I could not get Sellen Arena in the picture with the wide-angle lens. That just blew me away. But I then have a list of all the buildings because I'm very familiar with downtown, having worked there for over 40 years.
Mm-hmm.
The third one, which is probably the most historic photo, is I made a point to pull together in 2007 the presiding judge of the Superior Court, Hillary Chittick, District Attorney Beth Egan, Sheriff Margaret Mims, and Chief Probation Officer Linda Pinner. And they're very busy scheduled. They all know me, and they said, okay, yeah, let's do it. So we met in Courthouse Park. I got some pictures of them, and the one I used, it's not a spectacularly great picture. There's a lot of sunlight on the hair, but it documents the first time in California history that four women held those court-related positions at the same time.
Oh, that's
and I don't know that there's any other county that can say that in America, but I don't have any the time or wherewithal to double-check that.
But you were able to capture it. That's great. Let's talk about the project here at Fresno State and your exhibit that just recently closed at the Mountain Library. How did that come about?
Well, I've been wanting to do something with the photos I have. And one of the things I do for presentations is I make photo boards. They're themed. And I now have 140 of those boards. And
each one
has generally 9 8x10s about that. So the Bar Association, civic leaders, transportation, Fresno State Athletics. I have one on the Henry Madden Library. But I use that so people that know me from legal profession know I take law-related photos, and people at Fresno State see me at Fresno State, and people at church see me at church. But until they're still impressed with, whoa, I didn't know you took that range of photos. And you can't do a slideshow because it takes way too long to show all those photos. So I've been thinking about exhibiting at Madden Library, and I was talking to Dean McDonald and others, Marcy Morrison and Susan, and they said, well, we got this open time, and it was coming after I found out how much money I needed to raise to cover the cost for the university, which was a lot more than I had previously anticipated.
But that sounds like perfect timing for being able to promote your work.
And one of the things I did, because I already had the photo boards, is I came up with 48 of my more iconic photos. So you have the Bluesteins, Audra McDonald, honoring our veterans, historic parades, the courts, legal system, et cetera. Anyway, there's 12 categories.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to get enlargements, get the frames, and this is all one person
show. There's a lot to bring
to
it together.
Uh-huh. And then we hired Tim Padilla, who the library suggested as a possible person. He did the formal hanging of the photos.
Beautiful.
And it looked really well, and we celebrated my 68th birthday with the reception. And we had almost 300 people.
That's
come out
great.
To it. It worked out really nicely. Just sorry, Joseph and you were down south, but Board of Trustees meetings are kind of important.
Well, we were fortunate enough to be able to see it since our office is there in the library. Yeah. And what I enjoyed was watching students go in there too, because it's important to share this with other generations and for them to know not only what they're doing is important, but what people who've been here before them is important, and that the value in capturing those special moments or times, it's not lost. And instead of us just looking at the time that we're living in, that it, I believe there's great value in us respecting the different challenges that people have had before, and then using that to motivate us to go forward. So I really appreciate all the effort that you put into your, they say hobby, you say obsession. I see a lot of passion in what you do. And I've been fortunate to be at a lot of different types of events where you've been taking photographs. And you can tell that it's not just taking a picture. It means a lot to you, and it comes through in the photographs that you do take. And I thank you for thinking of Fresno State as a place where you would want to exhibit your work and where you would want to have it preserved. What do people do now to support your project?
Well, I partnered with the Fresno Regional Foundation, so all monetary donations to the project go through them, which makes it tax deductible to the donor.
Okay.
So checks are made payable to Fresno Regional Foundation, and on the memo you write Watkins Photo or Watkins Photo Archive.
Okay.
And you can mail it directly to the foundation. And the address is 5260 North Palm. It's Suite 122. And the Fresno zip code is 93704.
Okay, we'll make sure we have that up too so that our listeners can refer to it.
And then the foundation will send you a thank you letter and give it for the tax deduction purposes.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a way for people to donate online?
Yes. If you go to the Regional Foundation's website, which is FresnoReg foundation.org, and then you click on giving, and eventually there's a donation, and you fill in all your information. We have to designate which of the 30 or 40 funds it goes to. It would be the Howard K. Watkins Photographic Archive Project Fund, which is a lot of words. You just have to click on it. You don't have to type it.
Uh-huh.
We'll put a link on the KFSR Facebook page. It'll make it easy for everybody.
So you told me that you have your 50th reunion coming up. Are you going to be taking a couple of photos from high school?
I will be taking a few photos, but I'm on the organizing committee.
Oh, good.
We're bringing in one of the student photographers from the high school to actually take the pictures. Because as my wife will note, attest, when we go together to an event, I usually win the Date Abandonment Award.
Yes. I was going to say, you need to go and enjoy yourself,
right. But
I'm sure it'll be fun for your classmates to see pictures that you took when you were in high school with
what
them.
We're going to be doing is making CDs of those 500 or probably 400 photos. We deleted some of them. and each classmate will get a copy of it.
Oh, that's wonderful. So what is it like for your daughter to have a dad who likes to take a picture of everything? Is she shy? Is she a model?
She got over it early in life. One of the funny stories, she went to Roosevelt School of the Arts, and she was on the yearbook staff one year, and the teacher said, okay, everybody, I want a baby picture of each one of you for the yearbook. And he turned to my daughter, Robin, and Robin, I know your dad, you have no excuse. But it's also kind of nice with Facebook posting. There's an anniversary or another birthday. Here's a look back.
Yes.
And it's one of the important things that's really nice about having hard copy photos is because people take thousands of photos with smartphones.
Mm-hmm.
Where will those photos be 10 years from now?
Yes.
And mine are digital also, but they're going someplace where people can access them.
Where you can see them. Mm-hmm. And going forward, how long do you plan on being the guy behind the camera? I was admiring your tie earlier. I'm just going to tell our listeners, Howard's wearing this tie that has, it's the same picture, but it's repeated of him holding the camera. So it's actually the way that most people would recognize Howard if you see him out in public. But how long do you see yourself doing
this? Well, I will probably be involved with it all my life, but really would like to spend some retirement time with my wife and the grandkids.
I'm sure she'd like that,
yes,
too.
And so once I finish whatever I can on the fundraising, which will determine how many photos can go up online, I'll be indexing and try and get as much of that done, which means two things. One, I will not be going to as many events as I used to. Mm-hmm. And when I do go to an event, I will be taking a lot fewer photos.
Mm-hmm.
Because what I discovered is if you spend 3 hours between the event and the photos, et cetera, and do it 1,000 times a year, you have no time.
Yeah, absolutely no time.
It's a lot of little bits that add up. And so like this year, so far, I've indexed 50 photos. And I have probably 50 or 60,000 to go.
Oh, my goodness.
At that rate, I'd have to outlive Methuselah a few times.
Well, that might be the secret to longevity.
No, it could be. Could be. I'm not bored in retirement. I can honestly say that.
That's great.
Howard, I have a question. Your website says you started taking photographs in junior high with a simple Brownie camera. Do you still have that camera?
Sadly, no.
Oh.
One day, gravity won out.
Oh, no.
So if I find one, I do have almost all my other cameras from high school days on. But the Brownie one, it did not do well with concrete.
Oh, well, if anyone out there listening has a Brownie camera that they'd like to donate to the collection.
Okay, please let me know. You can email me at howardkwatkins@gmail.com. That's middle initial K.
Well, thank you again, Howard, for joining us and for sharing your story and your passion with Fresno State and the community.
Thank you. It's my honor to be here. Real joy. Thank you.
Well, thanks again to our very special guest, Fresno community photographer and attorney, Mr. Howard K. Watkins. And of course, my co-host, Fresno State's First Lady, Mrs. Mary Castro. Thanks for joining us this morning. And please join us again next Sunday morning at 10 for another First Ladies Focus on KFSR. We're on the air at 90.7 FM and streaming worldwide at www.kfsr.org.
KFSR presents First Ladies Focus every Sunday morning at 10. For a complete program schedule, visit kfsr.org.